Hello, this is David Kukla, Diarva, Yagitu. Welcome. Hello and thank you. This is the traditional healers from the four corners of the world. Join me as we unite with healers, ancient medicines, and embrace this healing wisdom. I'll be right back and explore some ancient traditions. Let us remember our ancestry and where we came from. For myself, I began my journey into traditional medicine in my early 20s. I've been fortunate to have studied with healers from around the world. I studied with Tokujiro Namakoshi in Japan, studying the old way called Kampo, Shiatsu, using finger pressure on the body, much as acupuncture, but without the needles. Then I've been able to study with some Chinese doctors, some Western herbalists, and incorporate those into my healing practice. The rituals and ceremonies I helped to create come from my years spent with the Native American and African healers. My years spent in the healing work have shown me one important thing. Life's a teacher, and each day brings another opportunity to gain some knowledge so that we're able to serve each other with loving kindness. And so what we're going to do tonight, we're going to venture into the world of traditional medicine. We're going to be asking questions, maybe not giving too many answers, but want to get you out there thinking about traditional medicines. How does it apply in our world today? Are there some issues that we need to address? And with that, we're going to have different healers coming in from the different cultures, sharing their ancient wisdom, sharing their medicines. And our goal is to educate you, to educate our communities so that they can utilize this ancient wisdom. And so tonight we're going to first begin with talking about traditional medicine. What is it? And then in that second half of the program, we've got my honored guest, Bruce Elijah from the Oneida Clan of the Iroquois Confederation. And he's going to tell us about his people up there north of the Great Lakes and how they've been able to hang on to that, this ancient wisdom, and to maintain their culture in a vibrant way. And so to begin with, let's ask that question. What is traditional healing? Well, it comes in various modalities. All the different indigenous cultures, they have their own ways. They have their medicines. They got their plant medicines. They got their body techniques, Hawaiian, Lomi Lomi, in China, they got the Tui Na. If we go into Africa, we have the divinations and the rituals and ceremonies with the ancestors. Here in the Americas, we have probably one of the most abundant, rich floras of herbal medicines in the world. And also many rituals and ceremonies. Many of you probably have heard of the Sweat Lodge, a purification ceremony. And so we can go over into Europe, and we have the Celtics, again, great herbalists, medicine people up there. So we have a rich history. Traditional medicine goes back thousands of years. About 5,000 years in China, recorded, a written history. And then a lot of cultures, not so much written tradition, but an oral tradition, much as our guest Bruce Elijah and the Oneida people's oral tradition. And also my people, the Sami people, the indigenous people of Scandinavia, where our tradition too was an oral tradition. And so when we talk about traditional medicines, we usually think about three things. And you'll find these three things in all our indigenous cultures. You're going to have, it's almost a, you could call it the sacred triangle with the creator or creation in the center of it. Or maybe you might want to use the word spirit. And so in that sacred triangle, we have land. And the second one, we have language. And then the third is culture. So when we talk about land, our indigenous peoples, those of us with that tie to the indigenous cultures, the first thing we look at is the land and the honoring and the respect of the land. And because, one, we know that it sustains us. It brings us our medicines. It brings us our food. And not only that, in this traditional mindset, land is, in some languages, called Mother Earth. And so that this earth that we stand on, we realize that she's feminine in nature, because it's only the feminine that can bring new life into this world. And so with that, the land, we think of her as our mother or as that feminine. And so maybe a simple question you could ask yourself is, how would you treat your mother? And what we see today and what the history of our modern culture has been a terrible ravaging and abuse of that sacred feminine. And so for us as indigenous peoples, we hold on to treating that earth, that great mother, in a sacred way. And we take what we need. We're careful not to contaminate the waters, because we say that water has spirit too. We make sure that we don't contaminate the airs, because we know that air that we breathe is necessary for the fulfillment of our lives. So land, critical in traditional medicine, and how we protect it and not abuse it. And then the language. When we go to that second prong on that triangle, the language, we know that in our languages, that's how the knowledge is passed down to the future generations. And so in that language, our traditional languages, we have words that no other language has. For example, we know with my people, the Sami people, in our traditional language, we have over 100 different words for the English word reindeer. And so if you talk to an indigenous Sami person and ask them how the reindeer are, they won't know what you're meaning. They won't understand it, because for the reindeer in the Sami language, we talk about each one of those reindeers with a specific quality, male, female, spots, whether they can be taken for food, whether they're pregnant. And so we don't understand that. And so when we lose that language, we lose our connection to our traditions. We lose our connections to our culture. We could also say that with up north of us here at the Eskimo. They have over 100 words for snow. And so what we say in English is, it's snowing. Well, if you say that to an Aleut or an Eskimo up north, they won't know what you're talking about, because for them, you know, is it a wet snow, a dry snow? They have over 100 words for the different types of snow. And this gives them survival capacities. And so, again, language, how we pass on our traditions, how we pass on the knowledge that's been given to us through the generations. And then culture, when we talk about culture being the knowledge, the belief systems, and the behavior in our communities. And it's the culture is created in the transmitting of that knowledge for the coming generations. And so the hanging on to that culture creates that way of living in a village, and to live not only in a harmonious way, but also in a sustainable way. So all three of these words, land, language, culture, refer to sustainability, of which is quite a big word nowadays. We're talking about sustaining. How are we going to sustain life? How are we going to make a place for our children so that they have a future that is good, so that the food they eat's good, the air they breathe's good? Not only that, but also that they have something to belong to. Because in all of us, you know, inside of us, probably one of our greatest needs is that sense to belong. And so with land, language, culture, we want to explore that further down the road as we go into this program that's going to be aired every month, or every month, the third Friday of every month. We're going to have this program, and we're going to be talking about traditional values. We're going to be talking about herbal medicines and how they can be used to help us in addressing the needs of our communities today, how they can help us with cancer, how they can help us with aging, how they can help us with colds and flus, simple things, how they can help with arthritis, autoimmune disease. This is a new disease that's coming and ravaging our communities, diabetes. We'll be going into those, and also we'll be going into the emotional aspect, depression, anxiety. We also want to address the issues of addictions and violence, and how, as we, as traditional peoples, how can we deal with that? What kind of gifts do we have to bring to help our communities so that we can welcome our youth, welcome those that are on the edge into the hearth of the community? We have to remember that the herbal medicines that I'm referring to are probably, of all the traditional healing modalities, it's the one that's most widely used throughout the world. The majority of people in the world use herbal medicines as a form of health care. And in the United States alone, the industry is... reached over $5 billion and growing at a rate of about 20% each year. So as these herbal medicines are being used, what's gonna happen with the FDA? How are they going to respond to that so that we have this grassroots movement that's springing up, and then we have the power above that's coming down? And already we have the FDA banning certain medicinal herbs that we've used for thousands of years, and we can no longer use them. They've been outlawed as dangerous. And as far as I know, there's very few recorded deaths by herbal medicine. Whereas if you look at our modern medicines and you look at how many people die each year from prescription drugs. And we don't, when we talk about plant medicines, we don't call them a drug. We call them medicine. There is a difference. And I'm wondering out there if maybe we're going to come to a point where us as traditional healers won't even be able to use that word medicine. Maybe that word will be, you know, owned. And so again, this culture that we're living in is seems to be dominance and control, but we as a people, we as a grassroots people, indigenous peoples, all of us, if we look deep enough and far back enough into our ancestry, that we as a people, we can rise, and we can claim these medicines, and that's where we want to go. And then when we talk about, so I spoke a little bit about traditional healing, and some of you might wonder, well, what does heal mean? Heal is, we use that word a lot. Well, it's a circle, if you can imagine a circle. To heal means to make whole, return to wholeness. And in that wholeness, that includes at least three items: body, mind, and spirit. And so that in traditional healing, when we approach somebody, when we do our work, that's what we look at that whole person. We see them as an extension of the community. We see them as an extension of this earth. There's a Lakota Sioux prayer, Omatakwiasin, which means all my relations. I was introduced to that in the many sweat lodges I've been privileged to attend. And so that prayer in itself speaks volumes for traditional medicine, all my relations. We're all related. to each other as human beings, but also our relatives, the trees, the stars, those that live under the ground, the water. These are all our relatives. And we as people, we have to remember to treat our relatives in that good way and to take care of them. And as we take care of them, also they'll take care of us. So in other words, I got your back and you got mine. That's how the Creator made it. That's how it was intended to be. And so with that, we want to welcome you to the Traditional Healers Forum from the four corners of the world. We're going to take a small music break here, and then when we come back, Bruce Elijah from the Oneida Clan of the Iroquois Confederation will be with us to share some of his wisdom and knowledge. Thank you for listening. Welcome back. This is David Kukla with the Traditional Healers Forum from the four corners of the world. We got this program on traditional healing that's going to be presented to you on the third Friday of every month. And so that we can start bringing this knowledge, this wisdom into our communities, and you have a better understanding of who we are and how we do what we do. And with that, we have Bruce Elijah. Bruce, you there?
Yeah.
Bruce Elijah, Oneida Clan of the Iroquois Confederation, medicine man, an oral historian, probably one of our greatest historians of his people up there in the north. And we're privileged to have you on the show tonight, Bruce. And with that, I've been speaking a little bit earlier about traditional healing and some of what it means. And I'd like to ask you, how has traditional medicine been able to survive in your community, and how has it helped in addressing the challenges of our modern society?
Well, we've been very fortunate that our old people, as we migrated from our homelands back in the early 1800s and in the latter part of 1700s, was that as we moved here, we were looking for a place where we can continue to be at peace and begin to get back to our original teachings. And so when we moved here in southwestern Ontario and bought our community, we were almost like we were paying taxes for the government to leave us alone. And for that reason, our teachings and our way of life as we know it was prospered at that time. And still to this day, we have that. We have our ceremonies, we have our language, we have the respect of our traditional council that still functions today with our hereditary chiefs, and we have our clan mothers and our faith keepers and the people in general, even to the point of where we have little children at the age of 5 taking part in the ceremonies, knowing where they belong and where they sit, and having their spirit names and still practicing those old teachings. And so when I look back on it now, is that, well, you know, I always thought that everybody had that. All of our Indian brothers from across the country were had that liberty to do that. But as I find out now, it isn't. And so we're fortunate, and we get a lot of people come from different areas and different regions within our region who come to our ceremonies, and we freely give that teaching and that opportunity to be able to take that back to their communities. And also, you know, we have our own school. We have our own total immersion school. And there are so many things, health-wise, physically, still using those teachings of what the land means to us. We call the land our Mother Earth, the way we look at our mother, our natural mother. And so we still practice that. And also water. You know, water is female. In the West, you know, in the pollution of all the Great Lakes and the rivers and all that, is that we're taking that into consideration, that somebody has to stand up to protect that, and that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at it, is that we're in a very good place.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for the next 100 years or so, with the work that I've done and the help of the people, I know that that's going to continue.
Mm-hmm. You brought up the word spiritual and ceremony.
Yeah.
And modern medicine, very linear, microscopic, they don't even touch that word.
No.
And could you speak a little bit about why that's so important to us?
Yeah, because it's the spirit of... the spirit is knowing who your family is and where you fit in. If I go to see a doctor, if I go to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I know nothing about his family.
Mm.
And he's not going to share anything about that. But in our culture, we do. We know each other. And we talk about our families. And we talk about the relationships of how we interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hidden agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it freely.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, if I can say that, in our culture of healing, there's a lot of good feeling. There's a lot of good humor. You feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can tell when the medicines are working because we as you say, holistically.
Right.
Spiritually, emotionally,
right.
Physically,
right.
And you know, the spirit of it.
Right. That's sort of reminds me of that second sacred triangle: self, family, community.
Yep.
And again, the relationship. There's no separation. And as you were saying, that in your community, everybody, you don't go to some psychiatrist that you have no idea who he is or she is, but you're within a community. And so again, the value, as I was talking earlier about culture, about having self, family, community as one of our things that we hold on to, one of those things that we have to rebuild here in our modern culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I go forward, Bruce, I'd like to ask you also that we've had some news of the Idle No More movement, the indigenous people up there, up north, rising up. Could you speak to us a little bit about that Idle No More movement?
It started about 4 to 5 years ago. There was a group of women from up north who took it upon themselves that in studying and reading up about how the Great Lakes is being polluted. And so what they did was they got together and they said, what we're going to do is we're going to walk around all of the five lakes, the Great Lakes, and go to communities and tell people and bring the awareness out that we need to work together. We need to do something because the government isn't doing anything, you know, to preserve and to make things right and that. And all you got to do is, if you ever get a chance to come to Niagara Falls and you see all the chemical plants and they're dumping their waste there, come to Detroit and you'll see, come to Windsor and you'll see all the chemical plants along the river, the Detroit River, and they're dumping their waste there. And no one is doing any testing as to what's going on. And so the people... these women got together and said, we got to do something. And so they start going around, walking each year. When the days are good, when the season is good, they walk and they bring the awareness in the communities and all that. And that's how the whole thing started. And it's not a government movement. It's not a leadership movement. It's not any high political people who are doing it. It's the everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time in Southwest Ontario, across Canada, the unemployment is down.
Mm.
And yet the electricity and everything else, water, is the rice is, you know, the price of it is rising. each time, and the economy is way down. So, you know, we got doctors who are being laid off, and then there, a lot of them are moving to the American side to be working over there, and the same thing with the teachers. And so the everyday people out there, the average Canadian citizen, is feeling the effects of what we've been saying all along. It's not just us anymore. Uh-huh. Everybody can relate to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the future of our people need to be able to, and every movement that has happened throughout the centuries was, it was the everyday people that made the movement. It wasn't the political leaders. It wasn't the armies. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the generals. And it wasn't the presidents, and it wasn't the kings that made any changes. It was the people.
Yep.
The people would say, hold it, just a minute. You know, where do we count in this? Where's the democracy? Where's the freedom of voice? And where's the freedom of living and the freedom of believing and all of that? That's, and so we've always had that.
That's wonderful,
Bruce. We
never
gave that up.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can take that away from you.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what we need to do, is we need to step up and say, hey, who's looking after our best interest?
Right.
You know, the land and everything, because if you want our children and our grandchildren to survive in the next 100 years or so, we got to do something about it.
Okay, that was great, Bruce. We got to do something about it. Those are the words from Bruce Elijah. And with that, we want to... thank you for listening tonight. I'd like to leave you with this thought I heard on the movie Burn with Marlon Brando the other day. A young rebellious black slave on a small island in the Caribbean was battling the British and the powerful sugar company and said, if what we have in our country is civilization, a civilization built on dominance, abuse, self-obsession, and isolation, then at its better, we remain uncivilized, because it's better to know where we are going and not know how than it is to know how to go and not know where. With that, I want to thank you, Bruce. I want to thank all you listeners, those who might be struggling tonight. We send you our love. We send you our some comfort. We ask the spirits, the ancestors, the ancient ones, and the Creator to come down and give you a little blessing, so that your day might be a little bit easier. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight and turn it back over to La Onda Bajita.